Oyster Drill location designation briefing and public hearing. Rich Childers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I forgot to mention on both of these briefings, I will be asking the Commission for Rural Action on a conference call on February 14th. And this presentation is on something that if Commissioner Chu was still on the commission, he could talk at length about this. But these are kind of some pesky little critters, the oyster drill that we have in Puget Sound that we try to keep a handle on and control the spread of them. And we've got to do a little housekeeping here on some of our locations where we've discovered these. I'll be talking about where the, some background on these restricted area, why some changes are needed, the proposed drill area changes, and public input and comment, which we have not received any on this, and of course, questions and public testimony. So the oyster drill was introduced into Washington, we believe, right around the early 1900s, along with the importation of oysters, as the oyster industry was getting started in Puget Sound. They spread very slowly because they're non-planktonic larval stages. They don't have a planktonic larval stage, so the spread is very slow and, although methodic. Transfer of shellfish stock from one area to another is how you can get areas that previously were uninfested to be infested. We as a department regulate the transfer of shellfish between areas, work closely with the aquaculture industry to try to contain the spread of these, and this is very much supported by the aquaculture industry. So we do some level of monitoring of tidelands to see the spread of this. We are going to do a pretty extensive look this summer because we think we may have even more areas where they're now occurring. And again, the industry supports these regulations to help try to control the spread of the oyster drill. So they lay their eggs, you can see here there's a picture, they lay their eggs right on the oyster shell, and as I mentioned, they do not have a planktonic larval stage, so the eggs hatch and immediately settle out right there. So that's for the cause of that very slow spreading of the animal. They're very easily introduced into a new area. For instance, if that clump of shell was moved into a new beach area, they would have oyster drills there. And the problem with these and why the industry is concerned with the spread is they do prey on all species of oysters, and they do that by drilling into the shell and basically killing the oyster. So this shows where we have kind of, and not a lot of detail, but the historic or most recent areas in green where we know there's oyster drill, and now we've had two new areas show up. One up in Birch Bay, which was kind of a surprise because that's not a commercial aquaculture area. And the other area down in Dosey Wallops area was actually an expansion of an area. So they've kind of increased their range a bit. So why these changes are needed? We do have a fair number of technical adjustments, latitude, longitude, describing where they actually are now that we have more accurate GPS units and so forth. And we need to have that accurate information for our permits that we allow for transferring or not transferring shellfish. And as I said, we did see an expansion of the oyster drills at Birch Bay State Park and at Dosey Wallops. And so basically this is kind of a housekeeping package that you have that basically gets us up to date on where these drills are and where they are not. But we are going to be doing some further looking this summer to see if maybe that range has expanded even further. And we have not received any comments from the public on this rule change. Questions?
Any questions? Yeah. Commissioner Schmidt.
Thank you, Chair. Rich, I don't know how practical this would be, but could you put a modest bounty, 5 cents or something like that, for the collection? And you could have central collection points to turn them in. But you know, kids are playing all through the beaches to fill up a their can with some oyster drills might be a positive thing.
Yeah, and we have thought of control measures. Fortunately, there's several species of native that look very, very similar. In fact, even our ProSate, you know, we want to assign our survey teams that are, you know, and they said, you know, unless you really know how to tell the difference, it's very difficult. Yeah.
Thank you.
Commissioner Smith?
Richard, are they always, is it always fatal?
As far as we know, if they prey on an oyster, it's going to kill it. What we don't know is, for instance, if you have a farm, for instance, and it has oyster drills in there, quilcine is one area that's just loaded with them. What percentage of the product you would actually lose to oyster drill, we don't really have a good sense of that. And we're also really having some discussions about, well, we've been doing this for years and years and years and trying to control the spread, but we may have actually lost the battle because they may just be more widespread than we thought. But we're going to continue to work with the aquaculture industry to definitely, if we know they're not in an area, we don't want to allow them to transfer oyster shell into an area where we know they're not.
Is it multiple colonizations or just would one kill an oyster?
One, yes.
There was one historical dot in Willapa. Is it still present?
Yes.
Yeah. And what, throughout the bay? Because, or is it just
I think it is now. It's been there for quite, I think it is kind of throughout the bay and the industry. Mm-hmm. Basically, they just work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Has anyone signed up for no comment? Okay, thanks.
Thank you.